Welcome to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
Fantastic. All of you that are joining us online today, thank you for joining us. God bless you. We miss you here. We need you here. This is the year of comeback. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're coming back. Yeah, this is the year of comeback. And you know what? We are the body of Christ. And so when all the pieces aren't there, we walk with a limp a little bit. So we need you. We want you to come back and hope you're enjoying your spring break. I'm talking to people on the camera right now. Hope you're enjoying the beach right now. I know you're drinking a margarita, but I'm just telling you, I got the word of the Lord for you today, in Jesus' name. Amen. You ready to go this morning? Turn your Bibles, if you have a Bible, or on your phone, to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 follows the end of chapter 14, where Jesus is teaching and talking about the cost of discipleship. He's saying that you guys who talk the talk, you also got to walk the walk. If you're going to be and say you're a Christian, then you need to be able to walk like a Christian should walk and give your life to Christ as those that really love the Lord. And so you got to count the cost, because Christianity requires an intentional commitment in advance. We got to decide today that we're going to live, no matter what happens, for Christ. That we're going to honor Jesus, we're going to advance His cause, we're going to advance His kingdom, and we're going to live our lives for Christ. And so that's what Jesus was trying to really talk to the guys about. If nobody builds a tower without first counting the cost, otherwise he won't have enough to finish, and everybody will say, what a ruin that is. And so as a result of that, at the end of chapter 14, he begins chapter 15. The Bible says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. Now, isn't that interesting that the message of lordship, the message of commitment, is so powerful that the lost people want to hear about it, that the tax collectors and the sinners want to know about it. He attracted them, but there were also some others attracted there. Verse 2 says, and the Pharisees and the scribes complained. Turn to your neighbor and say, they were complainers. Here's what they said. They said, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them. Now, he begins then in verse 3 talking about lost sheep, a lost sheep. And then in verse 8, he talks about a lost coin. But we're going to skip down to verse 11, because verse 11 where he talks about a lost son. In fact, not only is he talking about one lost son, but the parable goes on to tell us that there were two sons that were lost. And so we're going to read a little bit about that. So in verse 11 of Luke 15, then he said, a certain man had two sons. I know that when I've studied this in times past, we have the idea of calling this the parable of the prodigal son. Now, parable is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning to it. And so Jesus uses parables. I mean, this is one of the greatest stories here ever told. Jesus uses stories to illustrate heavenly truths. And so he starts this with a certain man had two sons. And so now we know we're going to read about not just one son, but two sons. And the younger of the sons said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Now, it's interesting here. You need to see this, because you can't lose this. He approaches his dad. He's the younger of the sons. He approaches and said, now give me what I deserve. Give me what you spent your life building. Give me my part of it now. I'm not going to wait till you die and get it as an inheritance. I want it right now. And in those days, the older son would receive a double portion of what his father had, and the younger son would receive the single portion. So literally, he got one-third of his father's livelihood. But here's what's interesting about this. I just saw this morning. It says, he divided to them his livelihood. So at this very moment, the other son gets or finds out what his two-thirds were, right? And not many days after, the younger son, he gathered all together. He journeyed to a far country, and there in that far country, he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Prodigal is a reckless, extravagant life. I mean, he was just throwing money everywhere. And he was being very wasteful. And it didn't take long, verse 14 shows us, that he spent everything that he had. And there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. If you have the New International Version, it said he set himself up for hire. He joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. So get this, he's away from his family, he's broke, no money, he's outside of Jewish territory, there's a famine in the land, and he has now become a hireling, a laborer, whose job it is to feed the pigs, and he's hungry. And here's the big deal, nobody cares. Nobody cares. And so verse 17 says that when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and some to spare, and I perish with hunger? I love it here. The scripture says that he comes. There's a moment in time where we can come to our senses. And he came to his senses. He said, I will arise. I'll go to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose, he came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now remember, he's coming from a far country, he's broke, his clothes are most likely in tatters, he's still got the smell of the pig pen on him, and he's a far way down the road, and his father sees him, his dad sees him. And so the dad runs to him, has compassion, and falls on his neck and kisses him. So the son immediately begins to say, watch this now. He says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, most people who study this really just think of it through this verse right here, through verse 24. And rightly should, because most of us have had some experience in prodigal living. I know I didn't get saved until I was 23 years old, but I got plenty in my first 22 years to set me up for the rest of my life, plenty of prodigal living. So most all of us are familiar with that, right? And so that's the story, is that really God gladly entertains, gladly embraces repentant sinners. And that's the lovely piece of this story, except that it's only half the story. It's only half. Here's the rest of the story. The next eight verses really talk about the older son. Verse 25 says, now the older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, what do these things mean? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But the older brother was angry. He would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, look, all these years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. And as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him. Now, this sounds pretty much on the same level as the Pharisees who complained. Remember at the first? The Pharisees who complained. Why did they complain? Because Jesus ate, received sinners, and ate with them. Now, this older brother who has never, ever transgressed the commandment. That means that he grew up in church. He's been around church all of his life. He knows how to act in church. He knows how to be in church. He knows what should be going on and what should not be going on. And he lets out this big statement of saying, you never even bought a goat for me and my friends. I've served you. And he just, as in sharing all that, he really opens up his own self-righteousness. His own self-righteousness. And his father answers in verse 30, in verse 31, and said to him, son, you are always with me. Now watch this. And all that I have is yours. Everything. Not just a portion. All of it. It's yours. He says, verse 32, it was right that we should make merry. Right that we should be glad. For your brother was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and now he is found. Let's pray a minute. Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord. This is one of the amazing storytelling abilities of Jesus that is one for the ages. And so, Lord, today I pray that we would get out of this parable, Lord, the things that you want to speak into our hearts today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. This is the tale of two sons. This is not just the prodigal son. It's not just the older son. It's the tale of two sons. And the younger son, here's the first lesson, the younger son is a prodigal. Now, this morning, my thought is that most of us in here are going to identify ourselves with the prodigal on the way we used to be. There may be some here today that you're living prodigally now, but you know that it's time for you to come back to God. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here this morning. You may be listening this morning online and listening to what I'm saying, and you know in your heart of hearts, God's calling you to come back to him. But this younger son, he was a prodigal, and he dishonored his father. He said, give me the lot that comes to me, right? And verse 12 said, father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered everything together, journeyed to a far country, and he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. So the younger son left his family. He left his home. He left his father. He took out on his own because presumably he thought he could do better, have more fun, enjoy the trappings of all that his dad had worked for. At any rate, he left. And it wasn't long before he'd spent everything that he had gained in his inheritance. He'd spent it all. He was broke. He'd wasted all of his father's money on extravagant living. And he found himself to be in need, right? So he was lost. He was lost out there. And you know how it is that when you first come to that kind of situation, you don't want to tell anybody about it. You don't want to admit that you've been wrong, and so you just kind of buck up and try to make something happen, which usually means something worse happens. It gets even worse. And for him, that's what happened to him. He was lost in sin. He was living in a pig pen. When you dishonor your parents, there's a pig pen in you in your future. There's a pig pen coming in your future. So it's really important that we honor our parents. That doesn't mean that we do everything that they tell us to do. But what that does mean is that we honor their place to be able to tell us, right? And we consider seriously what it is that they've said. You may have had parents that were abusive or parents that were addicted or parents who were absent. Maybe you didn't even have them around. But it's still important to remember that we are a product of our parents coming together. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for our parents. And at the very least, we can thank God for that. And so this younger son was lost in his sin. He was living in a pig pen because he dishonored his parents, his father. The younger was dead in his sins and dead in his trespasses. But there was a moment in time where the younger came to his senses. And I believe God grants people those moments. Those moments. And if you have a prodigal brother or sister, if you have a prodigal a child, if you have a prodigal friend, if you have somebody that's out there really struggling and think that they think they're doing awesome, you can pray and believe that God will bring them a moment where they could come to their senses. Now, you know, for him, the prodigal son, it was being in the middle of a pig pen. It was the stench of the pig poop that brought him out. It was the idea that he was hungry. I mean, very hungry. And he had nothing. Nobody gave him anything. Nobody cared about him. And so he began to come to his senses that, you know, at least there I could eat. At least there I was cared about. At least there I had a warm place to sleep. And so he began to come back to his senses and realizing that everything that he left wasn't as bad as he thought it was. In fact, it was something worth going back to. And so if you have a prodigal in your life, you can just pray. Pray that God would bring them to their senses. Bring them to their senses. And over the years, I've had lots of opportunity to pray for prodigals like that and seen many, many actually come back to their senses, get help, humble themselves, and get help. And so this younger son was a prodigal, but he came to his senses. Verse 17 says that when he came to himself, or he came to his senses, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Then watch this phrase here. Make me like one of your servants. He began the parable by give me what I deserve. Now he's coming back with make me like one of your servants. And so that's the transition from being proud to humbling yourself. On being proud, you want, man, everything that I deserve, everything I've worked for, everything I've wanted is mine. But when you've been humbled, you realize that none of that's yours. It now belongs and is going to belong to somebody else. And only God, only the Father has the power to make you into a man of God, a woman of God, to make you into a Christian. And so he says, make me like one of your hired servants. Now, anytime you are in sin, anytime you're in sin, there's really three responses. Number one, you can regret it. Gosh, I hate that I doofus. I can't believe I'd do that. You can regret it. Or number two is you can be remorseful about it. Man, my selfishness has hurt so many people. It's, golly, I just feel terrible for what I've caused my parents or my friends or my spouse or my loved ones. You know, my children, I hate that. You can be remorseful. But neither regret nor remorse, neither one of those gets the attention of God. God's not moved by our tears. He has compassion, but he's moved by something else. He's moved by faith. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he who comes to God must believe that he's in the middle of my life, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He has a reward for you. He has a reward for you. So the response to sin is really repentance. Repentance. And the reward of repentance is a rejoining yourself with your Heavenly Father, coming back into the family of God. And so when we've got sin in our life, it's really pretty simple, is that we humble ourselves before God, we confess our sin, and we ask God to bring us back into the fellowship, back into relationship with him. And so the younger humbled himself, the younger repented, and the younger came home and returned to his father. I love it that the Bible says that when he was far off, Daddy saw him. What does that mean to me? That means that every morning the father would come out and stand on the front porch and look. All the way down the road in this town. Look, waiting, watching, hoping that today would be the day. In fact, the Father is so awesome that he's already preparing a fatted calf for the day that he does return. I mean, he's already fattening up calf, waiting for the day that he does return. And so every day he's watching and waiting. And so the younger son was a prodigal, But he came to his senses, and he had sense enough to humble himself, to repent before God, and to come back to Christ. The second son, here's the second thing we can take from this deal. The second son was a complainer. Turn to your neighbor and say, he was a complainer. Yeah, he was a complainer. The Bible says that he was in the field working, and he heard the music, and he heard the dancing. Now, I understand how you can hear music. I'm not understanding how you can hear dancing so much. But he heard the music, he heard the dancing. All right? Verse 25 says, the older son was in the field. As he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants. He asked, what do these things mean? Well, verse 27 says that, you know, hey, your brother has come back and your father has received him. And now we're going to kill the fatted calf and have a big party for him. Verse 28 says, but the older son was angry. He would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. As soon as this son of yours came, who's devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. So the older son is coming in from the field, and he gets up to the house, and he realizes what's happening here, that his younger brother is come. And so the younger brother is there. The father has received him. And not only is the father received him, but he's thrown a big party, killed the fatted calf and thrown a big party for him. They made merry. That's what they had, a party, right? And so if you think about it, the older son's basic complaint is this: my father receives sinners and he eats with them. Not only does he eat with them, but he parties with them. And so he was angry. He wouldn't go in. But what's so amazing about the father is the father just didn't just say, well, he's upset, I just guess he'll be upset. The father goes out to him, out in the yard, and not only asks him to come in, but pleads with him, begs him to come back into the party. But the Bible says that the older son wouldn't do it. He wouldn't go back in. In fact, he becomes now guilty of the very same thing that his younger brother did. He dishonors his dad. He said, look, I've worked for you all these years. Can you tell that something smoldering, the unforgiveness that he had, the bitterness that he had, the outside of the family that he was, this guy was outside of really a meaningful relationship with any of them. And he was out there in the field doing all the work. He was the one who comes to church every Sunday. He was the one serving in the back. He was the one parking the cars. He was the one that was taking care of the children. He was, you know, giving. He was believing. He was standing. But there was something inside of him that didn't feel right. The thing that didn't feel right about him is God wasn't doing for him what he thought God should be doing for him. And he began to smolder inside. He began to fester. And this event of his brother coming back pops that festering sore. And out comes the pus. And what does he say? When this son of yours came back. Doesn't even acknowledge that we're brothers. When this son of yours came back, you threw a party for him. You never threw anything for me. All these years I've worked for you, all these years that I've been with you, this is what I get? And the Bible says that the father came out and pleaded with him. He didn't scold him. Wasn't upset with him. Pleaded with him. He said, come on back in. And he wouldn't do it. As soon, he says, as this son of yours came, who's devoured your livelihood with harlots. How did he know that? I mean, perhaps someone gave him some kind of rumor about it, but more than likely he's just speaking with hyperbole. Maybe he's projecting what he would have done if he was out there with the money. As soon as this son of yours came, the one who devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. kill the fatted calf for him. So, lost my page here. Here we go. So the older was offended and would not join the party. The older dishonored his father. The older was ungrateful. He was self-righteous, judgmental. The older accused the younger of wasting his money on harlots. The other was just like the Pharisees. How was it that this man, my father, he receives sinners and he eats with them? In fact, my dad's even gone beyond that. He parties with them. And so this moment was a difficult moment because it exposed the Pharisee and the older son. It exposed in him that tendency that we all have to be self-righteous, that tendency that we all have to view that our reward should be commensurate to our labors, what it is that we do, and that our salvation is based upon our good works, which is totally opposite from the good news, the gospel. Totally opposite. And so we have the idea that the youngest son now is a prodigal, the oldest son is a complainer. But here's the third lesson. The father loves both of them. The father loves them both. You see, at this very moment, God is watching and waiting for you and me. Those areas in our life, those secret sins, all he's looking for, every morning when he comes out to the porch of eternity, he's looking for you, he's looking for me to turn our hearts back to him, to humble ourselves, to say, you know what? We want to have a meaningful, loving, growing relationship with our Father. We want that. And so we can't let these secret sins and those besetting sins just lie there in our life, just keep us separated from God. At some point, we have to just come to our senses, like the prodigal did, and say, you know, I want to be back with my Father. But he's waiting for you. He's watching for you. It's interesting that the Bible says that when he was far off, God saw him. He can recognize you. You're not just a number to him. He knows you. He knows you intimately. He knows you. He created your frame, your masterpiece. He's the artist. You're the canvas, and you're a masterpiece of his life. He recognizes you. What makes Christianity different from every other religion on the planet is that he runs to you. He ran. It wasn't like, you know, he's standing on the front porch, you know, looking out and sees that younger son come. He's just shaking his head. Y'all know that from Instagram, SMH, right? Shaking my head. Yeah. He wasn't up there on the front porch of eternity shaking his head. He wasn't doing that. The moment that he saw him, the moment that he came into view, God was out there after him. In his worst state, he hugged him, fell on his neck, kissed him. He still got the stench of the hog pen on him. And so he's after him. So he runs to you. When the older son wouldn't come into the party, he went out to him. That's what our God is like. That's what Jesus is like. He comes to you. He loves you. He comes to you. He runs to you. He forgives you. He restores you. He redeems you. He celebrates you. He treats you as an honored guest. Gives you the robe of right standing with him. He gives you a ring of his authority. It's not just that we're going to have to watch you for a while. You're a full-fledged, remember, you're in this thing. He loves you. He's giving you the ring of his authority and the sandals, the type that only free people wear. And so he restores your life. He redeems you. He celebrates you. There was a party on the inside that the older brother could have easily gone in, brought his friends, and partied all night. But he just wouldn't do it. Why? He's angry. Why? Because, watch this now, because he had been compliant all of his life. Now, God doesn't require compliance. He wants our submission. There's a big difference. On the outside, they look exactly the same. Look exactly the same. I mean, when you're submitted, you do what your boss tells you to do. When you're compliant, you do what your boss tells you to do. But the compliant person doesn't have to be submissive. Right? Just do what I'm supposed to do and keep a stiff upper lip. Grind my teeth at night. Can't even believe you've never had a party for me. You've never reached out to my friends. You've never said how much you love me. You never did that. Look at him. He's coming back in our lives after wasting all of my money. You see, this older son was like the Pharisees. He just couldn't figure out the concept of forgiveness. Just couldn't do it. And that's the lesson of the older brother. The father says in verse 31 to the older brother, "Son, you are always with me. And all that I have is yours." There's no portion here that's yours. It's all yours. He says, "It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found." The overall story of the prodigal son is this one deal. Is that God embraces and loves repentant sinners. He loves that. The Bible says that even heaven rejoices when one sinner turns back to God. He loves that. If you're here this morning and your life is busted up and broken with no peace because you've been dealing with sin in your own life, it's a simple equation. It's not easy to do, but it's a simple equation. Humble yourself, confess your sin, and receive forgiveness in the life of God brought back into your heart. In a few minutes, we're going to ask our ministry team to come. And they're going to come, and they're going to be here to pray with you for any issue you got going on in your life. Maybe it's a health issue, a relationship issue. Maybe it's a sin issue. Maybe it's something that you just need God's help in. And so they'll be here to pray with you. And we take that seriously, and it's important to us because we believe that God answers prayer. And there's something important about asking. But I just want to just say this to you, is that repentance sort of looks like this. It's not a one-time event that you do, you know, when you walk the aisle and sign a card and get saved. That just opens the door. Repentance is a lifestyle. Is that as you come closer and closer to Jesus, He dwells in unapproachable light. And as you move closer to that light, then more of the darkness in you is exposed. And you have the opportunity to confess that darkness and to repent of it, to turn from it and turn back to God. I don't know about you, but look, read my lips. That happens to me at least 2 or 3 times a day. Right? Now, I've been doing this for a long time. But that lifestyle of repentance carries with it the whole idea of I'm submitted to God. I'm not just compliant, because I can build a hard heart in compliance. But I want to keep my heart soft towards God, because I want to have a relationship with Him. Because He came to me, He saved me. He gave me worth and value far beyond what I ever could have gotten on my own. I love Him. I love Him. At the end of the day, why do we want to keep our lives clean? It's because I love Him. It's not because of the law, I have to or should have, or got to be a good example for my kids. I need to be. But it's because I love Him. And that is the lesson of the father of these two sons. He loved them both. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Are you glad you came today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you came today. Thank you for coming. Would you bow your heads, please? And if you don't mind, just put both hands up in the air. And pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I surrender today. make me a son or daughter. Yeah, whichever one applies to you. And Lord, help me. Help me to live a life that's honorable to you. Lord, help my heart not just be compliant, but submissive. Keep it soft. Draw near to me, Lord, because I love you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five. Give him a handshake. God bless you. The altar is open for anybody who needs or wants prayer. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give to partner with what God is doing through Trinity Dallas. God bless.